It is Thursday, the 25th of November. This is episode 70 of Digital Outbox. Hello and welcome along to another episode. I am Chris and I am joined again by Ian.
Hello, nice during your intro, but never mind.
It's because we've made a concerted effort to start quicker nowadays and just get on with it, because we do a lot of chatting before we actually even get recording. So we're now getting into the recording quicker, but I'm not slick enough yet. Never mind.
But you have missed a lot of chat. I mean, I've mentioned that my boobs are buttery and a whole lot of other things. But anyway, let's move on.
Let's definitely move on. Because we don't want to let everyone know what we chat about beforehand. So we've got some updates to start with. Paul Chambers, Mr. Twitter going to blow up an airport, is going to appeal.
Yes, well done him.
Very good.
And there's a fighting fund you can donate and get him his 10 grand that he needs.
Is that what he needs to actually appeal, is it?
Yeah.
Tell your boys and girls, get into being a lawyer. Best advice I've ever given.
I won't repeat my reasons why.
Now, Mr. Knobhead, as I called him last week, is backtracking on his two-tier internet comment. Do you want to explain that for us?
So, Ed Vasey, I'm sure cockhead. That's how you pronounce it.
He's less than a cockhead this week, then.
No, I think he's been slapped over the wrists. So he's backtracked on his two-tier internet comments. He says they were taken out of context and... His overriding priority is an open internet where consumers have access to all legal content. He added that if this changed and that consumer interests were at risk, we would seek to intervene.
Yeah, only intervene as far as they kept on getting money.
You know, still a Tory, still a cock.
Yeah, definitely. And how? What would MPs do without that phrase, you know, taken out of context?
What,
yeah.
Cock? What would MPs do without cock? Especially Tories.
Off the rails. Right. GT5 has been released into the wild. My God, it actually happened. I guess the reviews so far have kind of been saying, you can kind of tell it's just been released into the wild. It's a little bit rough around the edges. Perhaps a game that would never have been released had they actually wanted to get it to the point where they... You know, the makers were ready.
So let's do the science bit. Metacritic has it currently 86%, which is by no means bad.
No, it's clearly a good game.
But considering a couple of the hundreds...
Harry Potter got more than that.
Yeah, and a couple of the hundreds are from like PlayStation Lifestyle, which is never going to give it anything other than 100. Yeah. The thing that surprised me the most... It's back to these 1,000 car models, 200 are premium or high content or whatever they were called, and 800 are just normal. And somebody put a screenshot up in the Edge Forum the other day of one of the normal cars. My goodness, it's awful.
I mean, you can really tell, can you?
It looked terrible. I mean, it looked like the wheels and the lights were stuck on. And when you looked at you could turn around and say graphics aren't everything, but to me that was always the thing about GT. You could guarantee the graphics, whereas the handling you can take in, you know, it was down to you whether you liked it or not. And the graphics were awful. And one of the reviews actually hinted that a lot of the cars had been imported from older versions and they've not actually had time to do the remodeling work on them. And so I think that's true, looking at that screenshot that I saw.
That's what I've heard as well, you know, reading Graham's blog the other day on a post on it. He was saying some of the less, what do they call normal models, feel last gen, if not gen before last. So almost not worth being there kind of thing.
No, and I would rather have 200 great-looking cars and then not a negative with the other 800.
Well, how many cars does Forza have? I don't even know. It's certainly not 1,000, but it's probably more like 300.
Did you ever unlock all 300? No.
No, absolutely not.
You know, to me, it's just it's back to the concept. They should have concentrated on the core features. They've added too much. It's got too big. It's got too bloated, and it's suffered. It's like Microsoft Office.
So yeah, and that's the general impression that's floating around the internet is yes, it's, you know, it's still a good game. Don't get me wrong, but it's fat.
50 minutes to install.
Yeah, so apparently it's taking a long time to do anything at the moment because there's so many people trying to play it online, and it connects online when it does anything. So it's actually slow to move menus and things is the latest bug that I think is going around.
It is really just like Office. It's bloated, takes ages to install, and the first thing you do is get a patch before you can play it.
Anyway. So there we go. So a bit disappointing. Certainly not a buy PlayStation for this game, unfortunately. Well, it's certainly not going to tip the balance any more than it would normally. We have had iOS 4.2 released. Way! This is the release that event finally gets iPad up to having folders and multitasking and pretty much brings everything in line. All iOS devices now in line with each other.
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to install it yet. I've literally just downloaded it before the podcast, but I've heard it's good for speed increases on my 3G. I doubt it'll give me any more.
and certainly, the only thing I noticed in the iPhone was that your text messages, you can now pick a different sound. So if you're in an office...
How 1990s?
If you're in an office surrounded by people with iPhones, which I am, you can pick a different tone. You can't pick your own.
Right, but you can... Right, okay, so we're one step forward.
We are one step forward. But I've got to be
even
honest.
Even on Skype, everyone I know, on Skype even, when they've got... You know, I'm chatting away to them, their Skype their mobile goes off, and I immediately look at my phone because it's exactly the same.
And then you remember you've no friends and nobody will contact
you. No one will ever text me, so why?
And I'm the same at work. Keep on hearing the sound. Take it out of my pocket. And you're like, oh no, it's not me.
So go on then, give us a blast of the new sounds then, if you can grab it.
I'm trying to find them.
But I will go through. So this is also bringing to this latest update, we've got AirPrint and AirPlay.
That's for a message.
Hmm. Are we in a Disney film?
I'm going through them in order. Under the Sea.
I have to say, maybe we should... You know when someone does this on the train, you get really annoyed with them?
Yeah, I know. I won't do it anymore.
We're probably doing that too, I think.
But certainly the update on the iPad was excellent. So it has brought all the unified inbox way, folders way, all the things that, and it just feels a bit slicker now. You know, just being able to swap between the apps very quickly and cut and paste between them. And you know, Google Docs is now enabled for editing, so it actually feels a lot more robust platform.
Who needs real sound effects when you got iPhone text alerts?
How long do they go on for?
That's pretty huge. Do you subscribe to the new iPad in March, April with camera front facing?
I think the camera's a given.
But in March, April, is that when you think it's going to come out?
Well,
because that's going to put a bit of a dampener on the old Christmas sales, isn't it?
I don't think so. It seems to be the hot device. And more people are talking about it than ever to me again. You know, after initial kind of interest, it died down, but people recently have been saying, what do you think? Good Christmas present? That and the Kindle seem to be gadget choices this year.
Kindle's being advertised big time on TV. I know we talked about that. You know, why haven't they got a TV campaign out? Well, they have now.
Yeah.
And I tell you, there's loads of buzz around it. Loads of buzz.
No, I think it's just, it's better looking. The first ones that came out, I mean, it was like... I don't know, it was like just really bad. It's like Fisher Price.
It could be one of those devices that does make that transition into, you know, you everyday, not just your geeks.
No, I think it already has. I think it already has.
You can now gift on Amazon, you can gift ebooks now. So you don't have to buy them a voucher or anything, you can actually gift them an ebook.
One thing before that, before we move on, is Find My iPhone, iPad, Find My iOS device is now free. So for devices that support iOS 4.2, that is now free.
And so that used to be a Mobile Me, one of the only reasons to buy a Mobile Me subscription, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, certainly for me, because Dropbox replaces the kind of iDisk, and iDisk is sucky. And I mean, galleries are replaced elsewhere for me. But yeah, so that's now free. So you can download the app and register a Mobile Me ID if you haven't already done so. And I guess you will have, I think. Because you're in the App Store and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's very handy.
Good stuff. Excuse me while I hiccup. Apple have been talking up, or it's been, I don't know if it's been rumored or they generally are talking up, this idea of having an embedded SIM in their devices, which then when you activate it, you can choose which carrier you're going to activate your phone on. Now, European carriers are up in arms about this, as far as I can gather.
Well, so this story for me is a bit odd, and I'll do my little quote at the end. I've changed my mind, but they basically, whole of the websites reported that they want to do this embedded SIM. So the SIM comes embedded within the device when you buy it, and it's all software controlled. So over the air updates to say who's your telco, and similar in America, it wasn't seen as an issue, but Europe are not happy at all. But then a couple of days later, it was like, no, Apple have abandoned that idea. But seemingly it is coming to iPads. And that will be a feature of iPad 2. There'll be no SIM slot. It will just be it's embedded within, and it's software updates to say who you're with and who you use it with.
Well, one of the things was that the carriers were saying, well, we're not going to subsidize a device where it's really easy for a user just to be able to switch and change whenever they want. So we're not giving the users that subsidy. Yep. But then with an iPad, that no one, well, we're going to come onto that in a minute. At the moment, no one subsidizes an iPad anyway. So it makes very little difference.
No, but then I saw a tweet that summed this up for me, which was rumors about Apple building a unicorn or releasing a unicorn. And then it's just quickly denied, and everybody reports on the first bit, and everybody reports on the last bit, and there's actually nobody knows. This is all just...
And surely the only reason Apple want to do this anyway is so that they don't have to bloom and make another slot on their their beloved case.
Well, Jobs doesn't like holes or buttons.
Yeah.
Is basically the thing. So, one less hole or button. That's wrong in so many ways.
An exciting bit of news from Rupert Murdoch. Now, we talk about Rupert Murdoch not getting things right and the things like the Times paywall and, you know, all
and
this
he's the spawn of the devil.
That generally he is, and that is the truth, and that he sold his soul a long time ago.
What soul?
However, what?
What soul?
Okay. So, however, he has teamed up, seemingly, with Apple to go about producing an newspaper. It's not going to be coming out in print. It's not coming out anywhere other than being delivered via your digital device. Now, they're saying because we can now distribute this digitally and there's no very much lower distribution costs, they're going to be able to do a weekly... Is it every day a week? I'm trying to work this out. It costs 99 cents a week is what they're saying.
So you're paying 99 cents a week, but it's called the daily because it's delivered daily.
So it's, yeah. So now that sounds far more realistic.
Yeah,
than,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, so why can't the Times be delivered like that? Apparently this is going to be US focused, which is a bit annoying. Whether we'll get a UK centric version, I don't know.
So it's US focused, similar 100 journalists. And as you've said, it's content exclusively for this daily newspaper, this digital newspaper, and seemingly at first only on iPad as well. So it's an exclusive iPad paper.
Now, this is amazing. So this is actually future-looking from Mr. Murdoch.
Maybe and Mr.
he's,
Jobs.
You know, throwing, maybe he's throwing, you know, 100 of his worst journalists at this that don't cost
no,
him anything.
No, because I think the editor or whoever is actually running it is seemingly well-renowned within the industry. So it's not a bunch of noobs or a bunch of nobodies. And I, as you say, a pound a week to get a daily newspaper. And the rumour is that December 9th, there'll be a fantastic Apple event where Jobs and the Spawn of the Devil will be up on stage together announcing this. There'll also be an iOS 4.3 update because it's the whole... What's new is this push delivery, which will happen, I guess, in the morning, you know, when everybody with an iOS device gets delivered this magazine.
So, yeah, you don't need to click, you know, sync or anything. It's nope. Just pushing out like it would on, say, a Kindle. Pushing out. Whisper sync, I think they call it on Kindle.
And I think this is what's... I think it's what everybody assumed Apple would bring when iPad was first launched.
Absolutely. It's exactly. I think we all talked about this in our predictions, didn't we? That this was going to be the killer feature. And now it seems like the Daily is the first step along that route.
But speaking of billionaires, Richard Branson is seemingly unveiling his iPad-only magazine next week as well.
Okay.
Billionaires. So
that could be more UK-focused.
Seemingly it involves travel and music and some other things. So I don't know if it's just a Virgin Puff piece.
I can totally understand why they would release something like this in America first. You've got a much, much bigger audience. So 99 cents across all that market makes much more sense than it does in the UK, which is noticeably smaller, shall we say. But it's not a big step to, you know, from having 100 journalists doing American news to having 120 journalists doing, you know, 101 UK stuff.
And having
one will cover the UK.
Having some guy in the UK just changing the spelling.
Well, and all we need at the moment is blooming wedding analysts. God damn. Right. we talked about earlier how the iPads aren't subsidized, but it turns out that Everything Everywhere, so that's T-Mobile and Orange, are going to release a subsidized iPad.
Ooh, yes.
Interesting.
Rumors came out on Monday, and very quickly on the Orange website, you can see that they are talking about it, but they haven't said when or how much it's going to cost. But it will be 18 to 24 month contracts.
Now, with a new thing around the corner, are you going to sign an 18 to 24 month contract? I guess it depends. And £200 off is quite a lot, I guess.
Well, and it depends how much the contracts are. I mean, if it's £30 a month and they're taking £200 off, you know, it's...
It doesn't make a genius to...
No, but then for some people, spending £400 is just not on. Spending £200 is.
Yeah, so, but it's dropping by £200 rather than dropping to £200.
Yeah, but it's £420 for the cheapest one.
Right, yes.
So,
but then you wouldn't need a carrier anyway, because it'd only be Wi-Fi.
That's true. So what's the cheapest? £499?
Yeah, so it's another £100 on, isn't it?
Yeah, so £300. I just can't see it being popular. But three have announced today that they're going to do the same before Christmas. They will announce their subsidised.
Three of our probably most competitive carrier that we've got in the UK, aren't they?
I was going to say they're the only competitive carrier because other ones are just a monopoly. Let's be honest.
The three still only have 18-month contracts. Unfortunately, that's the only drawback to them.
Yeah, but still, I think Henry was the first to kind of call out that, you know, subsidised iPads. You can see it being quite cheap. So he would have been sitting here crowing right now, going, yeah, 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 yeah. But instead he's going, come on, Andy, down at the O2 Arena tonight.
He's not in it anymore, is he, Andy? I'm getting knocked out by Federer.
No, YouTube. It's a league thing.
So it's a round robin, yeah?
You know nothing.
I know nothing, you know? He's Dennis. Right.
You and Sarah Palin, just hand in hand.
We have got some trivia. How exciting.
Yeah.
How many years since the first version of Windows?
Do you want me to guess, or do you want me just to look at the
notes?
No,
I think you should just read it, because it's right in front. You can pretend to guess.
19?
No, it's longer than that, Ian.
That's what they all say. 25 years.
That's spot on. Well done. It's 25 years since the first version of Windows. My goodness, I remember it. It was pretty awful.
I didn't know you were 25.
Over 25.
But it's shocking.
Yes.
Absolutely shocking.
That's a long time in technology.
And where would we be without it?
Where would we be? But also a blooming long time ago was when the Xbox 360 was released.
5 years.
5 years. Now, who would have thought a console would last that long? Console life cycles used to be 3 years max, really, didn't they?
Yeah, well, the Xboxes is just a year, then you need to go and buy a new one. So let's. Yeah, that's why it still feels fresh.
The technology has only changed in tweaking. Yeah, yeah. So I've had 5 boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know a couple of people that have had 5 boxes. That's a scary thing.
So life cycles of. I think we said at the time, though, that, you know, even now, or in fact, we said not at the time. I've said recently that the technology is still not being utilized fully. So what's the point of releasing new hardware?
I think we talked about it with when you've picked up the Kinect.
Yeah.
And I just can't see next year's E3 having any new consoles, which takes us out to 2013.
New Kinect games can last for another, you know, push them out for another year at least, I would have thought.
Yeah. So if you think 2013, that's an 8-year life cycle. And they did talk about, a couple of years ago, they talked about, you know, PS3 and Xbox 360 might be 10-year consoles.
But the thing is that things like graphics on PC, it's got to the stage now where, you know, 1080p type resolutions, which the consoles can shove out, is still pretty much where people are at. They don't need any more than that. They've got enough anti-aliasing to sort of make smooth outlines and stuff and just run with the games rather than the hardware. So good. Just a quick thing. Google released a really nice little microsite.
Lovely.
20 things I learned about browsers and the web. It's almost a beginner's guide to the web, isn't it? And what it means. Yes. But they've developed it in a really nice HTML5 website, which is in the style of a book. And so not only is it very attractive and good to look at, it sort of shows what's possible with HTML5.
There's some clever JavaScripty things going on as well. So you're moving between different web pages, but you don't know. They kind of mask it and hide it, and it's all very, very nicely done.
And it's when you come back to the book as well, it knows. So it's had some storage there that knows that you're coming back to it. And do you want to resume or do you want to start from the beginning?
The thing I really liked when it's 60-odd pages, it's actually very informative, but it's the way it's animated.
It's got a nice page-turning effect on it, hasn't it? All the little sharing buttons as well, they're all nicely implemented. So yeah, very, very good. Kind of weird thing for Google to be releasing, but I guess it's kind of they do sort of shove the open and fair internet, which is, so there's definitely a political angle in there somewhere, but it's nice and attractive. So that is at www.20, that's the numbers 20, thingsilearned.com, and that'll take you to the thing if you want to have a look. Spotify, for all that we laud them up and really appreciate the service, they are losing money. They are leaking, they made a net loss of £6.6 million, which is a big chunk of cash.
Actually, I'm going to scare you now. It's 16.6.
So they've lost 16 million. So they've made a revenue of 11 million, but they've lost 16. Showing how greedy the music industry is. I mean, it's a great service. I mean, Americans still don't kind of understand it, why we like it so much. The thing with Spotify is I kind of remember about it every now and again and fire it up, and away I go and think, oh, great, wonderful. And their new music discovery is getting better on it. They've got some nice social interaction now. You can have your own iTunes albums in there as well if you want. So that they're moving on, but they're clearly not making enough out of the advertising, even though they've got, I think, is it 10 million users? Am I over-egging that a bit?
I'm not sure on the user count. I think to me, it's just that the American launch is just, it's just really required. They need to get a kind of global presence. Europe's not enough.
But it seems like the American music industries and labels just aren't interested.
Mm. And also, something I've picked up from Twitter is that people that I know have subscribed are getting annoyed that, and I don't think so much a criticism of Spotify, it's the actual, the music labels, and they're putting up a new album, and it'll be there on Spotify, great, I can listen to it, and then 2 weeks later they move 3 tracks from it, so it's not the full album anymore. And I think that is, I mean, I would be a bit peeved if I'm paying £10 a month, and that's happened to me quite regularly with some of the chart stuff. And the whole point of that was it's streaming, it's always there. But if they start removing certain key tracks from time to time, and I think it's just as I said, it's not Spotify. It's the labels themselves.
The labels are the ones that decide on the licensing and stuff.
And you can see it when you fire up Spotify and you look at the top 20. And then it will say, this isn't available, and this isn't available, and this isn't available. And you're like, that's nasty, because it must have been to be in the top 20. For them to compile that chart.
It seems like it's just a stuttering thing. I mean, if people embraced it, I think it would be great. I mean, certainly from a user's point of view. I mean, having the ad sponsored, I mean, radio stations manage it, so it's about trying to work out how to get the adverts in there, I guess, in it, and get enough of it revenue from it effectively. Also, Amazon, they've been doing very US kind of style Black Friday, as they call it in America, where there's tons of deals. So they've been all week, they've been releasing, I can't remember the exact term for it. Is it micro sale or micro sale or something along those lines? I can't remember. Flash sale, maybe. And basically, they've got like a little ticker, and every hour they release a new set of products.
I'm sure it was Lightning, but I can't remember.
At knockdown prices, But unfortunately, we don't know how many items of each thing are on sale, and it's just potluck whether you click the button in time. But a lot of things are disappearing from there within about 2 seconds of the. So it says, you know, the product's available at 12, and about 2 seconds after 12, they've all gone. They've 100% sold.
So they're actually called lightning deals. I didn't realize, but they actually have lightning deals all the time. So that is a feature of their website.
They've obviously pushed it more.
People have got very upset because they sent out a lot of Facebook and tweets last week saying we're going to have 360s at 70% off and Wii's at 70% off and, you know, the latest Take That CD at £1. Oh, no, the Wii's have gone. The Wii's went on Monday night. You go to the website and you go to the Black Friday section and you can see what's coming up. So there's in 6 minutes' time, there's a bronze series electric shaver. And it tells you what price it is, but it doesn't tell you what price it's going to be. And basically, the only time you can actually buy it at that price is when the kind of little bit of Ajax that's running gets to zero and the Buy It Now appears. And a lot of people really criticised it on Monday, saying they're there, they clicked on it as soon as it appeared, it then says waiting in queue, they're sitting there, and then 2 minutes later it says sold out. But obviously some people were able to buy it. And a lot of people were like, there's only one CD, there's only 10 CDs. They said there was thousands of CDs. You'll never know the figure, because as you said, they don't show you how many's there, which is a bit sneaky. And
there's probably different numbers for different things as well.
And also, see, because you can't see the price, and because things are selling out within a second, you know, they're just sold. People are just buying it for the sake of buying it. They don't know what the price is.
This is an amazing, it's just like your Boxing Day sales or whatever. You know, get these manic people.
I was sitting at work. It was 3 o'clock. There was some casserole dish at £130. I wanted to try buying it. So it was like 10 seconds to go. And me and Shai, and I said, so do you just need to wait? As soon as it appeared, I clicked buy. And it went in. So I got it.
You've got a casserole dish?
No, because it goes into your basket and then you can just say, I don't want it. Yeah. And I think that's why you're seeing later on through the week, you're seeing deals. If you look first thing in the morning, they've got all the on-the-hour deals. But as you look through the day, some appear at like 20 past the hour or 10 to the hour. And I'm sure that's just the stock that people have not picked up, because people are just clicking on it in case it is a great deal. But some of them are lousy. Some are only a fiver off. And it's a fiver off the RRP price, which is more than other sites.
Amazon about that. Yeah. You can find it elsewhere. So yes.
But it's still a sale.
I have to admit that I bought a phone. My old phones are rubbish, so I bought a new twin pack, which actually was £40.
Panasonic?
Which is actually pretty good. Yes, because that's the only ones that are there at the moment. It had all right reviews, so I figured.
Nice colour screens.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see what else to complain about.
And it totally got sucked into the whole thing of it, though.
I don't see what else to complain about. There's a sale. You know it's limited stock. And you get some deals, and people are on there, like, you know, swearing away at Amazon, I'll never shop there again. It's like,
yeah,
well,
but that's a load of rubbish, and don't bother then. If you're going to be like, it's like the Boxing Day sales. People go mad in those shops, ripping and pins out of people's hands and, you know, barging each other out of the way. It's just ridiculous. So it's this kind of equivalent online, I guess.
I wonder how much the Airs will have off tomorrow in the Apple sale.
£50.
100.
Are you going to take the day off?
No, because I can't
You say it like you would never do that.
I would never queue for an Apple product.
Okay, let's move on. So Google Cloud Connect has been announced by Google, and effectively is a plugin for Microsoft Office that allows you to save all your documents that you're creating up into Google Documents. And every time you click save, it basically syncs up to the cloud.
Yes.
Great backup for your documents.
Yep.
Great way of accessing wherever you go. And kind of outdoing Microsoft at their own game.
Or at least providing the same. Because I think does the new Office not allow you to sync up to the Office docs?
Excel doesn't work currently, I don't think.
Oh dear.
So they and this one does sync your spreadsheets as well.
Yeah,
it's only one way. This it's not as good at going back the other way. If you create a document on Google Docs, it doesn't have a good way of syncing to your local files.
And you can get multiple people editing documents and creating conflicts.
Yeah, but it offers you a choice of which one you want to put on there, and it also saves your both versions in the backup library, your revision history. So a nice little, definitely a nice little plugin.
Nice little plugin, and it's a great way of kind of backing things up, and yeah, maybe not using XP Sync like a certain person uses who listens
XP
to
XP Sync
or whatever it's called. Just ask Brian how many documents he lost the other day.
This is kind of backup without thinking, isn't it? So I think I'm going to actually install this. The only I guess consideration is if you do put the plugin in, your documents are going to go onto the cloud, and you know, you've got to be aware that they are going to be sat somewhere.
Yeah. So for certain companies like mine, I would probably get the sack for doing this.
Yes.
So be careful.
But I have to say, I would be pretty confident that Google Documents is probably as safe as any internal file storage in your company anyway.
I would take your word for it.
That's it. And companies don't take that kind of word for it. I would. I'm pretty sure that people would blind you with science.
But it's Windows only, and it's Office 2003, 7 and 10.
There we go. So, because that's the other thing. The Microsoft offering is only for the latest Office 2010. I don't know whether we said the other day, but Google Apps now, it used to be that you couldn't have any other Google applications other than the base set of their email and their documents and things like that, and their calendar, I think, when you had a Google Apps account. But now they have opened up all their other smaller applications, you know, things like Google Voice and that, to Google App customers. So that was just something that got announced last week. They're spreading that out the system.
Which is very handy because you can have separate reader accounts and all sorts now.
That's it. So you can actually, as a user, you can now, on Google Apps, you can actually have Reader rather than having a separate account to do that for you. Okay, Jollybook has been released. Now, Jollybook is, Jolly Cloud, should we start with there, is an Ubuntu Linux release, very, very cut down, basically a cloud-based operating system. Now, they have released a bit of hardware to go along with their operating system, and it's called the Jollybook, and it is now on sale for £279, Amazon UK.
And I thought the spec was all right, actually.
It's a very standard netbook spec.
Yeah, although I'm still confused why you need 250 gig hard drive.
But then again, we also were confused how Google iOS can have no storage. So we kind of...
Yeah.
I guess that allows you to, as well, I mean, it calls itself a cloud operating system. You do need to be connected to the internet, and it does sync with nice things like Dropbox and a few other cloud storage. But this also lets you have local storage, I guess, local video, whatever.
And my little takeaway points are that if you are interested, and I think it looks great. I've always liked to look at this.
I mean, just like Ubuntu had their release for netbooks, it was still quite fat. This is trimmed out all of that fat now. But they're saying it is lightning fast.
Yep, and I think it's just the best, or a really good mix, I shouldn't say the best, but a really good mix of cloud-based applications and services, but with the option of installing locally as well. So you're not fully committed, you're not fully tied in with cloud only. And if you are interested, you can download the OS and install it in a bit of old TAT hardware you might have lying around.
Well, I'm
or a virtual image, you know, so you can boot it up and see how it goes.
I mean, obviously, it's a virtual image is fine, but obviously for it to be any use, you need that bit of, you need a netbook, really. I think if I had a netbook, I'd be very, very tempted just to whack it on.
Yeah, but it's just to let you see it before you buy. Because if you've only used XP, you know, Vista, Windows 7, it is very different.
Yeah, and say... if you've got an old netbook, I think this is probably the way to go with it.
But compare the price. I mean, £279 and compare that to a MacBook Air.
Exactly. You're looking for £100 off of your MacBook Air, and you're excited by that.
Yeah, but I could get it tomorrow, whereas this has got a 1 to 3 month shipping window.
Yes, and that's a bit strange, is that, yes, they're saying it's available now.
Bring it, Jolly Boy.
It's going to take between 1 and 3 months to arrive.
I don't quite get
it. I guess
that.
It means it's being shipped from China.
Well, I guess it means if we get enough people buying it, we will actually ship it.
Once we got our original, base batch number, you know, I guess someone in China said we need to make X number of thousand before we can ship them out.
Kung fu.
And that is actually all our news this week. So let's move on to our picks. And I am going to yoink a pick that Ian actually highlighted to me about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now. And that is a program called SugarSync. Now, SugarSync, I think the best way of describing SugarSync is that it is Dropbox, but with the added benefit of being able to sync up files that aren't sat within your main... Dropbox works in one folder. This can work in anywhere on your hard drive, basically. And it whacks it all up onto the cloud, and you can then grab it on other PCs. You can use it as a backup device. It's just a great bit of kit. It's pretty easy. How have you found it?
Ideal.
Yeah, I mean, it just puts little ticks next to any files that you want it to back up. And it's immediately obvious whether it is backing them up or whether it is it's really backed up. I would say this is actually better than Dropbox, although I, as a Dropbox premium subscriber, I can't justify having another one. I think Dropbox maybe one day will spread out into the rest of the PC, and that'll then sort of close the gap again.
They've got a beta edition just now that does. So they've got one in testing. I think it's been in testing for about 3-4 months. So I think they're just ironing out any issues they've got, and that will allow you to sync from any folder.
And that'll sort of erode this bit of competitive advantage SugarSync have got. But if you're interested at the moment, go for it.
I think SugarSync, one thing to point out as well, Dropbox will give you 2 gig free. SugarSync will give you 5.
Yes, but I think maybe we'll see if there's a bit of competition, it doesn't take a lot for them to up their limits.
No, but if you look at the typical size of your documents, an average user won't have 2 gig of files or 5 gig of files. You know, so it's, I don't know. I just think having that extra space is quite nice to have. For a lot of people, it's like, ooh, very nice.
Absolutely.
I found it slower, but...
Yes, it is quite slow. I think it maybe waits for a gap in your internet usage before it does anything.
Well, I'm stuffed.
I have to say, though, that the one thing I'm worried about at the moment is the fact that with all these cloud services and syncing, I've got about 12, well, that's a bit, such an exaggeration, I've got 5, I think, icons on my taskbar now that all relate to syncing backing up into the cloud.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a worry because they're all using resource. They're all using my bandwidth. They kind of all do their own thing. It's almost like we need a common way of doing this.
But to be honest, anyway, if you're a premium Dropbox user, you should never touch SugarSync.
Well, you made me.
I didn't make you.
You made me, and I like it. And I love the fact that I can sync specific files or specific folders.
Yeah, that is nice.
Briefcase,
because with Dropbox, I was using...
Killer feature for me.
For Dropbox, I was... Sorry for talking over you there. For Dropbox, I was using hacks. I was using symbolic links to link to other places so that you could, you know, get your files uploaded that way. And it was just all a bit... It worked, but it just felt a bit unnecessary.
If Dropbox was your main document folder, that'd be fine. But then for most people, 2 gig is nowhere near enough for their main document folder.
As for me.
Not for me. So, Ian, your pick, please.
Oh, my pick... So
I say your pick. It's actually your pick was the last one as well, but you
know. No, but my pick's a bit of an apology pick. So okay. Last week I was talking about notifications on my iPhone, and I'd recommended an app called Boxcar, and it had just gone through an update. It looked really nice, and it looked fairly reliable. But I found a couple of days after that I wasn't getting notified when tweets from the people I was following were appearing. So I was following Amazon UK, I was following Mondo News, which is for a Star Wars posters in America, and I wasn't getting them sometimes. So I actually tried another service called Notifo, which is free. And you can go to the website, which is notifo.com, and you can register there. You can download the iPhone app, and then you can sign up for a number of different services, which again are free. So one of them is Twitter. So when somebody DMs me, mentions my name, does all that nonsense, I'll get a notification. But I can follow 3 other people and get notifications from them as well. And it's worked 100% this week. So I am. Last week's pick was good but not great, and this one's better.
I wonder whether it was because of all our thousands of listeners suddenly subscribed to Boxcar, and now you've probably crippled Notifo as well.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it called? Notifo.
Notifo.
That's notifo.com.
Yeah, but... Slick website, and there's quite a lot of other services it can do as well. So, yeah, very nice.
Good stuff. Thank you very much. And that is us done today in record time. The reason is we're going to go and play Halo. Right, so you can find out more about us at www.digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian?
I am on Twitter as Shreeper. My blog is iand.net. It had nothing to do with Halo. Because we're all about your listeners. Come on.
Very true. We did this in a concise, straightforward, and quick manner. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was Benny Lexi, and he'll see us at 7:30.
Hey! Sorted.
By the way, have you seen iTunes?
No. Hang on. What? I've
had to... Dance, fat boy, dance.
Oh, no. They better be reviews rather than just ratings.
No, there's none.
Phew. I'll just keep my dancing personal.
There's none, people. Do you hear that? You hear that disappointment in my voice?
See how excited I am? Fantastic.
I can see him as well. It's like a pogo stick. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's like your Halo 1 kill dance. I've got a kill.